Joel Radio, hey, how you doing out there? Welcome back. Joel Fragamenti here, hosting for you. Corey Hall sitting in as well.
L'chaim.
We got some comedy today for you. A lot of comedy news.
We do.
Well, I mean, not from well.
That's a new one for this show. We're doing something new and innovative.
We have high-profile gigs, Corey, both of us. Can you imagine that? And this two guys with 20 years in show business.
Yeah.
Actually performing for an audience.
Who would have fucking?
Well, I'm going to talk about how I'm performing for an audience. And in order to get ready for performing for an audience, I've been performing for no audience.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, you got to do some, you got to get some reps. You got to get in shape.
Warm-ups, warming up, doing some shows, doing some gigs. You did some, I mean, you just did, well, who did you perform for? What was
I
the
did.
Group? I mean, you don't need to go into that much detail, but I mean, it's, you know.
No. I mean, I've been
no
doing,
need to throw anyone under the bus is what I mean.
Well, the thing is, I've been working fairly recently. You know, I've been working a lot lately, so I didn't feel the need to go out and like bust down at the open.
No,
mics
but
and stuff.
You.
But I've been working regular gigs
because you have a
often.
Big weekend this weekend. Corey's with the amazing Jonathan.
Yeah,
and at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle this weekend.
Yes, for his second farewell tour.
I think it's his third.
Third farewell tour?
I think it's his third. I think you've opened for two of them, and somebody else opened for the other one.
Yeah, there you go.
So, no, I think it's. I think
I mean, because yeah, we're
his third time. I'm about to die tour visit three.
It was probably what 3 years ago last time I worked with Jonathan.
I think it's been an annual thing, and, maybe.
And they were like, he's like, this is it. I'm dying. And this is over. And now he's back this weekend.
Now so. He's back. So
Godspeed.
Yeah.
So it's a really Jonathan's really amazing. Literally, that's his name. But
well,
I mean, it's a fun show.
It's a fun show. It's different.
It is very different. And if you haven't seen it before, it's definitely worth coming to check
I
out.
I mean, everybody knows Jonathan if you grew up in the 80s and
he
stuff.
He was on Comedy Central and
no,
clips
absolutely.
All the time
yeah,
and specials.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, his health took a downturn. He disappeared for a while. But he's, it's, you know, he's a mock illusionist.
I mean, there is magic.
There is some elements of magic, and a lot of it is kind of like.
If I could review, like, his magic is like, he does one trick in his act that to me is like, well, a magician could actually do this thing. This could be a trick that a magician might do. otherwise, it's kind of like a lot of store-bought stuff, but then he adds his patter, you know, the comedy.
Yeah.
Of the comedy magician really makes Jonathan, and it's mean, and it's dicky, and it's really great.
It's really more of a, kind of like what Albert Brooks used to do.
Yeah.
When he'd do a magician. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like all the gimmicks are failing, and he kind of makes it a whole bit.
Well,
and it's
you
like,
know, Penn and Teller, back when they were getting national recognition,
Jonathan
were really
is,
mean. Yeah. You know, Penn and Teller have changed a lot over the years as far as their act goes, because Penn and Teller was two guys essentially trying to kill each other on stage. That's what it was. You know, the big guy was abusing the little guy. The little guy would get his revenge at the end of the trick. And that's kind of how they rolled. Now Penn and Teller's like their two grandfathers up there hanging out. And, you know, and Jonathan is still a dick. You know, Jonathan's still mean.
I think it really came out of the same style.
Yeah.
Alt. Of the 80s.
Anti-magic
kind of
comedy.
Punk,
yeah.
Punk magic comedy. Yeah. But Last time I had a really good set, you know, and I came backstage and Jonathan goes, "Oh, you'll figure this out eventually." It's kind of
it's a nice
kind of guy.
It's like a guy who you can tell it's like a guy who won't directly compliment you.
No,
it's like I'm going to just bust your chops while complimenting you. Yeah, that's a veteran move. So come see Corey this weekend. The show as it goes up. It's tonight.
Yeah.
And Saturday. So go over to comedycastle.com, get your tickets, go see Corey, go see Jonathan.
Two shows Saturday
night. Mother's night. Take your mom.
What are the starting times? Because it's always, I never know.
For the Friday night shows, you're going to be looking at a 7:15, a single show at 7:15. Yeah. And for Saturday, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, okay.
So go to comedycastle.com, pick your seats.
All right.
Go see Corey and
but
Jonathan.
But to shape up, last weekend I did a show.
Yeah.
For a true, I mean, for one of the true legends, Art Servi.
Art Servi?
Is that name ring a
bell? Oh, my God. I can't believe Art Servi. I mean,
Art
this is
Servi.
One of the great I mean, one of the all-time greats.
First of all, he to you, he is in your line of work.
In my line of work?
Yes, Art Servey.
Oh, I know.
Was Detroit's Bozo the Clown.
Detroit's Bozo the Clown, Art Servey.
Yeah, so for, I don't know, 15 years or so, he was the...
Yeah.
You know, because they franchised Bozo.
Yeah.
Larry Harmon was the guy in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they kind of like... And then eventually, I think the Chicago show just took over, like WGN. You'd see it.
Yeah.
Like,
but they
were local.
They
outposts.
Did local Bozo. It's probably easier to do that than send a Bozo tape around to just get a different guy.
Well, because the tapes were, in the old days, it was harder to send the tapes.
Yeah.
Now you just upload it and satellite and all that stuff. But you had to literally send a tape. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Bozo, the Art Servey, he's about 85 now. And we did this. He was one of the younger guys at the show that we did. The great Bill Bouchard and I.
Yeah.
Did a car club.
Okay.
Not a lot of young guys in a car club.
Well,
I feel like they won't have another generation because, like, one, guys our age don't really kind of, you know, they're not really into cars.
The cars are different. Guys, if you say, what are young people into? They're into, like, drift cars or, like, you know, the hot hatchback, the tuned, you know, Japanese import cars.
You can't be really into a Ford Flex. You know,
no,
what I mean?
It's
not the same. Right. It's not a Barracuda or a Chevelle.
And you know, there might be the car clubs are still going to be the 50s and 60s cars, though, in 20 years. It'd just be different people owning them.
But that whole muscle car thing. This was the oldest bunch of Alta Gockers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was a real one of those.
Sounds about right.
Soft meat. And, you know, steamed vegetables dinner kind of things. But, yeah, Art Servey. Bill got very excited.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed out, like, I didn't recognize the guy. Somebody was like, you know, he used to be Bozo.
Yeah. Well, how would you recognize,
I don't know,
an 80-year-old guy that used to be in clown makeup?
Right.
You know, how would you ever recognize?
But, you know, he was actually very nice. I went over and said hi to him. And, you know, I said from one clown to another, it's nice to... Anyway, he was one of the big laughers. Anyway,
okay,
Bill thought he was meeting a pope. He was very excited about this.
Sure, that's
it was growing up. You know,
Bill... you know, I'm not a mark for the old clown guys, the movie horror hosts. I don't know that doesn't do a whole lot.
Well, I went. Speaking of which, I went to the Ghoul tribute show.
The Ghoul
passed away. He was a local. He was actually a Cleveland horror host, but he got syndicated and got so popular in Detroit that he moved here for a few years and did his show at Channel 20 for about 5 years.
Okay.
And he was on off and on for, you know, throughout the 70s and early 80s. And that was a hell of a show. People turned up to watch clips of a show from the 70s.
Yeah.
A public, you know, it was not public, it was on the UHF channel.
Well, it was a
Channel 20 and
a
Channel
public
50.
Eulogy, you know, public
but that was kind
memorial.
Of although there was a lot of backstage controversy.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to save that. I think people if they want to know more about the Ghoul and his controversies.
Yeah. I'm just saying, no matter whatever world you're in.
Yeah.
And I used to work with Wolfman Mack, who was the modern horror host.
Yeah.
And just the rivalries and feuds that go on in the no-dollar world of TV horror.
Yeah.
It cracks you up. So, like, when you see people are competitive in any other field, just know that the guys who put, you know, fright wigs on and yell at movies are very competitive with
them. They do take it seriously, you know. I mean, you have to give them credit. They are fans in that sense. So I have a high-profile gig coming up.
Yes.
On May 19th, that's a Sunday night.
You're opening for Art Servey, Detroit.
Art Servey and I will be performing Upchuck and Bozo together at last.
No, there you go.
One night only.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to be performing Sunday, May 19th at the Fox Theater in Detroit with Roseanne Barr, Corey. That's the gig that I got.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that, now Fox Theater in Detroit, for those who don't know, an old venue, an old movie house. But a gigantic theater, very, very large, I mean, almost as large as those kind of theaters get, like 5,000 seats, incredibly, like, when you go in there, it's amazing how wide the Fox is.
Yeah.
Like, it's tall, and it's gigantic.
What do they seat there? What's
5,000.
5,000.
Yeah, I mean, 5,000, and, you know, I was asked to do this by a guy named Derek, who... I did those shows at the Palace in Meadowbrook 4 years ago. So I worked from 10 years ago at the last time. But when he needed an opening act, you know, he works for the Illiches, 313 Presents now. And they said, he said, would you want to do this thing? I only got to do a 10-minute set, which is good. I read online.
Get the papers.
Roseanne has started her tour. She's doing an hour 40.
So it's just you're the only opener?
I'm the only opener, yeah. I mean, she's doing an hour fucking 40 minutes. It's a long set for anybody.
I mean, not to slam you. I'm just wondering why she even needs an opener at that point.
I guess they just want an opener.
Just want to get the beak, get that beak wet.
The show starts at 7. You know, they want somebody to bring her out and get some laughs. And they actually, you know, Roseanne's people want to see a video. It was a whole thing. So, I'm going to be doing that show. And so if you want to come out, tickets are relatively affordable for a Fox Theater comedy show. I think the top ticket is about $50. And believe it or not, there's a lot of tickets available, it looks like. So you can go get them tickets and see me.
I
think the bottom ticket's 20-something. So
I'm kind of curious to see how this goes. I mean,
I'm real serious to see how it's going.
Well, because, you know, I don't know who the Roseanne fan base is at this point and what's going to go on.
Well,
remember when Charlie Sheen came in here?
Yes, and did a comedy
and
show.
And imploded.
Yeah.
Now, Roseanne is a real comic.
She is.
And, you know, whatever you think about Roseanne as a manic depressive lunatic,
yeah,
you can't deny that she's been a legendary stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. For years and years. So
her reputation as a stand-up comic should precede itself, and she should be pretty good. I remember seeing Rosie O'Donnell. I've told this story on the air, but when I saw Rosie O'Donnell at the Gay Music Festival, it's a long story, but you know, she was on with the B-52s and all these gay-friendly acts and stuff. Rosie was funny. I mean, she had a good act. She was good on stage, and it was kind of like, well, Rosie O'Donnell's this idiot from The View, and then you go, oh, maybe she has some chops in comedy, so I'm sure Roseanne's gonna be fine.
I remember, because we're old, I remember Rosie being on Star Search.
Yeah.
She was one of the early, along with our friend Geechee Guy.
Yeah.
People that, there were people like Sinbad and Rosie O'Donnell that like broke out on the Ed McMahon Star Search.
Yeah.
Then our friend Horace Sanders was about to break out on Star Search, and they blew up a rock.
That was
as they were announcing his
the
victory.
2003 invasion of Iraq. It was announced in the middle of a live Star Search.
Yeah,
where
it was literally like
he was competing.
Arsenio was like
for $1 million.
The winner of Star Search, give it up for.
I think he maybe didn't. I almost want to say the other guy that was challenging him performed, and then they were waiting to bring out Horace, and then they went straight to the White House.
And it was
something like that.
It was literally shock and awe footage of Iraq, Baghdad being blown up.
Anyway, so I'm sure Roseanne's going to be good. I mean, I guess there is some political content. She does lean conservative. She did that documentary about how she ran for office. Did you ever see that?
Well, here's the
It's on Hulu, so here's the
nutty thing about Roseanne. She was in the Green Party a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And tried to run for the Green Party.
Yeah, there's a documentary about that. Yeah.
And was like, got in a fight with Jill Stein.
Okay.
So now she's like a Trump support. The political meter on her swings wildly.
And then we talked about the Valerie Jarrett thing where she insulted her, which was very bizarre anyway. And I don't know if she blamed that on being on Ambien. Was there something to that?
I know.
But anyway, it was like she definitely turned a lot of people off. That's when she got bounced from the ABC.
She really
from
didn't.
The Roseanne revival.
I think that was, again, the cover up was bigger than the crime. Yeah, I really think if she'd come up and been like given a straight up apology.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, whatever it is, she's appearing, and I'm sure that hurts her draw on some level. We're going to see how it goes. I'm supposed to bring Roseanne on stage. When you do these things, you never know if you're going to hang out with the person. Will you be, directly you're going to be working? I have no pretension that I'm going to be meeting Roseanne for more than 10 seconds. I may only meet her when she walks out on stage and I'll get to shake her hand. And that's fine. It doesn't even matter.
It kind of varies.
You never know.
Sometimes you will, the comic will be like, you know, I sat and ate steak tips with Gilbert Gottfried and like, sometimes you hang out with them.
You share a dressing room, and sometimes you don't. Yeah.
Sometimes your pals. And with Jonathan, he's got so many props.
Yeah.
that I can't even get in the green room.
No, the green room is part of the show. Yeah, yeah. The green room is like the backstage.
Usually you sit in the green room and talk to these guys or whatever, and it's fun.
Yeah.
But with Jonathan, you're kind of like, hey.
Yeah, Jonathan's a guy that I've spoken to for in probably the two times. You know, so, you know, in five, 6 nights of working with him, I've talked to him for about 10 minutes. You know, yeah. I mean, very, very little. But anyway, so I'll be there with Roseanne. Come out and check that out again. You know, and it's funny because when I got this gig, I just want to talk about what I've been doing. So I immediately, I found out, and like the next day I was on 9:10 a.m. with Mike Bonner. Yeah. And I said to Mike, I said, Mike, look, I got this gig with Roseanne. I haven't told anybody about it. If you want me to not do this, I will, out of deference to you, not do this gig because, you know, Roseanne's racist or whatever, but, you know, it's the Fox. It's a big deal. I kind of want to do this. And he said, you are going to do this gig. The Fox is an awesome venue. He's played there. You know, Mike's gone in open for everybody at the Fox, you know, comedy shows, The Temptations.
Frankie
and all
Beverly
this.
And Mace.
Yeah, absolutely. All that stuff. So Mike
Morris
will do those
Chestnut,
shows. Yeah.
Jodeci.
Mike will do those shows.
I'm just going to keep naming.
But I'm sure he's performed with all of them.
I know.
So Mike said.
He opened for all of them.
All of them. Yeah.
All of them.
All of them. They
one
were
of the great.
Great.
One of the great groups.
Yeah. So I think, so Mike said, no, you have to go do this. So then I put up a thing on Facebook about it. Turns out a Mexican friend is upset.
Oh.
A Mexican friend said I shouldn't do the show because she's a racist piece of shit.
Oh.
Everyone else has been supportive.
I have a fairly,
all the black comedians have been supportive.
I'm kind of thinking, like, we don't know a lot of Mexicans, so I think I know who this is.
Well, whatever. I'm not going to name the guy now because I, you know, and I like that guy, and I, his opinion is not. But, I mean, like, look, once Mike Bonner says you got to go do this thing, you can't really. He's the dean of black comedy in Detroit. I mean, and other people could say don't do it, but
look, I'm sure that there were people that would have said no.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I whatever. You're being a little precious,
right?
If
I mean,
you
it's,
say no. I
yeah,
mean, like,
it is
like, but that's the problem. We now live in a world where it's like you gotta go. I can't stand by this or this.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's
there might be people, like, I wouldn't go do an Alex Jones opener or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
Yeah, I wouldn't go
there
to
might
a
be,
rally.
There might
yeah.
be lines I wouldn't cross, but Roseanne has been a comedy
yes.
star for
yes.
30 years.
She's the modern day Lucille Ball.
And you're going to, you know,
yeah,
why
I mean,
would you,
you gotta,
turn down
you gotta
why
go
would
do
you turn down a gig?
It's a
now,
dumb thing.
It could be a nightmare of a show, but you don't
it
know.
It could be. I think it'll be fine. I mean, look.
It's a big room. You don't know
what's
going
to be there
going.
Laughing. I talked to Mike Green. I got some advice from him. Got some advice from Bill Hildebrandt. Yeah. You know, everybody's signing off on it. They think it's a good idea.
Look.
So I'm doing it. So
I did a show last week for old people passing out in their soup. This weekend, I'll play a rockin' comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to... That's how comedy is. It's you take the gigs and you do the thing and you do... So it's, you know, fun.
The thing is, I haven't been...
It'll be a story.
Yeah, and, you know, I haven't been on stage that much lately, I'll be honest, and because I'm not a working road comic any longer. I teach and do shows when I can. I do shows with my students. I perform at my student showcases, which sometimes I have a couple hundred people at the Comedy Castle. But I'm doing, like, any open mic I can do. So I'm
but you're not out there doing bowling alleys in Owosso.
Well, if I could, I would, but I have to work at the castle. I got to work all those shows with Jonathan. So I'm, you know, I did a show Sunday. Again, I had my comedy students. It was already set up, but I did a little restaurant downtown Mount Clemens. Not a lot of people in the crowd. And I'm trying to do the exact set that I'm going to do at Roseanne. And boy, it's hard when you don't get that feedback. You know, because there's just not enough people there, or the people there don't pay attention. Now, look, did I do better than the other guys on that crappy open mic? Oh, hell yeah. But I'm still kind of going, I need a real crowd to relate to as far as that goes. So
it's really
I did. Let me tell you about what I did last night. Did another show last night. I went deep on the west side, Warren Avenue.
Mm.
Did a show. I'm going to leave the particulars unmentioned. I did a show where you have to knock to get into the venue.
Oh.
It was like, it's open, you know, there's a door.
Easy.
No, it's like, there's a security guy who's got like a monitor,
mm-hmm.
who's monitoring the back door. And then you go and then, you know, there's a smoking ban in Michigan. Not at this place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No rules.
And you go, and you know, when you go do comedy, Corey, you stand on the stage and perform. There ain't no stage.
Yeah.
You're standing like in the aisle between.
Did they have pitchers full of blue Kool-Aid that were spiked? Was that on the menu?
That you're even referring to.
I'm just saying.
So I'm like, you're performing in the aisle way, and like people are like walking past you literally while you're performing. I would say while you're on stage, but there's not even a stage.
Yeah.
And I did the show, and I'm sitting there going, this is an absolute hell gig. And then when I'm done, and like people were laughing, there was one lady sitting right next to where I was standing who was having a great time, and she laughed at everything. And so I'm kind of like, but then when I get done, I don't know if the guy who was the owner or whatever came up and was like, I can't, you know, thank you for coming out to this. Because, you know, I got the big intro about how I'm a 20-year veteran and I'm appearing at the Fox and blah, blah, blah. And these people really seem to like me. And, you know, I came home completely smelling like smoke. I washed, put all my clothes in the laundry.
You forget how bad.
Yeah, it was just so bad. And I'm just like,
I was at St. Andrews on Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
For the Lemonhead show.
Yeah.
And the lack of smoke in there.
Yeah.
You could actually see.
It feels way different. Yeah.
You could actually see the stage and the performers, and it was really confusing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I went there a million times in my 20s.
Yeah.
And it was like.
People probably vape now.
Yeah, I didn't like see that. A lot of vapor because this was an old, you know.
Yeah.
This was people our age, so it wasn't like, you know, it was all old hipsters, but like, wasn't a lot of vaping going on, but it was just weird to like be in this venue that used to be so smoky and you'd come home stinking and it's just clean and fresh.
So anyway, so I'm doing these old mics. In fact, I'm doing, as we talked about with Jeff Horst a couple weeks ago, I'm planning on going to the Independent on Saturday night.
All right, well, knock yourself out.
I got to do these shows. I would feel bad not doing shows and then going there and having a bad show. If I go to the Fox and have a bad show, I had a bad show and whatever. You know, maybe it's the audience, maybe it's me. But just doing it, just saying the jokes and memorizing the order and that stuff, I think is, you know, a good workout before doing it. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So anyway.
You gotta get those reps in.
Getting the reps in. All right, let's go on to comedy, more comedy. A guy that we both know. I think we both opened for this guy one time or another. Nick DiPaolo's in trouble, Corey.
Oh, my.
Now, can you explain? Do you have an article to explain? I can sum it up, but maybe not. Basically, here's what I'm going to tell. I'll give you the rough story, and then Corey can fill in the details. So Nick DiPaolo has a special. I think you go to his website to get the link to, like, it's a video special, like it's like a Netflix special, but it's for free. I don't know if it's on YouTube, whatever. But there's a cover image. So you go to his site, you click on this thing, watch Nick DiPaolo's special. And it's basically, I don't know what the name of the special is. You can tell us. What's the name of the special?
A Breath of Fresh Air.
A Breath of Fresh Air. And basically it's
from a man who's about the stalest air in comedy.
Come on. Nick DiPaolo, very funny comic, not the hottest act now, but certainly 10 years ago he was a guy, you know, he was in that upper echelon of kind of those New York comedy seller, ball busting kind of comics, and he was hot there. But he's giving the finger basically to the Me Too movement and to protesters, and basically saying, I'm not going to be politically correct. Turns out one of the guys that was in this photo, which I'm guessing was probably a stock image or something from Google Images, is a guy who was shot by the police at some point, who was a well-known protester. Tell people what I've got.
Yeah, it's kind of a collage shot.
Of various people.
People in like mid-yell being protesters.
Outraged.
And it says, the key art for Breath of Fresh Air, released on YouTube yesterday, featured DiPaolo giving the middle finger to a group of protesters that included murdered black activist Mojahedin Moye, a prominent Black Lives Matter activist who was shot and killed last year while riding a bicycle in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So then he got a clap back on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because the Twitter police will get right on your case. And comedy writer producer Sashi Izura pointed out on Twitter that Moye was one of the protesters being mocked. Yeah, the guy in the Black Lives Matter shirt was shot and killed last year, but sure, use him as a prop in your fucking Photoshop job to demonstrate how edgy and brave you are.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Look, we know this. I'm making an assumption, but if this isn't true, may be struck down right now by lightning in the middle of the Joel Radio Studios. Nick DiPaolo did not create the image for that website.
I don't think he created the image, nor had any idea who the guy was.
And
I bet the guy who made the image
didn't know either. Yeah.
But that's the problem with the internet.
I know.
You take a stock photo and you're like, that's my sister.
Right.
She is you know, Lyme disease, and how dare you make fun of her? You
know what I mean? I know. Like,
she got bit by a tick at camp,
right.
Run amok.
I guess if you wanted to do that properly, what you'd have to do is hire some people to portray protesters and take a picture
Which
of them.
Probably the smart way to do is get some open micers.
Exactly, yes.
Have a picture of them, and that way you're avoiding the...
You're completely like those, covered.
Remember, like, Lenny Bruce would be posing with, like, a bunch of, like, you know, it'd be, like, him and a black chick and an Asian girl in a kimono.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it'd be, like, living it up, or, you know, the sick mind of Lenny Bruce with all these bras. You know, you have to... And I'm so, all for the staged comedy album cover.
But it actually would be... A more sort of, like, I think that would actually be more effective in a sense.
Yeah.
Because it would sort of indicate, hey, I'm making fun of these people. And these people, the photo itself would have been a parody of what the Black Lives Matter.
It was the laziest thing they took.
It just seemed like a very lazy, quick slap together thing.
It was a picture of Nick on stage flipping people off.
And the content of what Nick says in the special is never discussed in any of the outrage. It's never discussed in any of the articles. It's just they happened to take a picture of a guy who was shot by the cops. Well, you know, having nothing to do with Nick, having nothing to do with his comedy. Nick is not, I believe, does not reference that guy in that special.
All,
I mean, come on, people.
First of all, this is hack, okay? Because 8 years ago, my album cover, I was doing the shocker motion to Mother Teresa.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was also
doing the pink one on the stink to Mother Teresa?
Yeah, I was. And I,
oh, my God.
And simultaneously, I was doing the you know, split V tongue between my mouth to baby Jessica who fell down the well.
Oh, baby Jessica fell down the well.
Yeah. So it was really.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay. Now, Grant, I have not seen this special, and I kind of don't want to even look because.
Who cares? I mean,
I'm sure Nick's gone real Trumpy.
Yeah.
Nick was always a conservative.
He was, yeah.
He was funny, though. I mean, like.
Yeah, Nick was funny. When I opened for him, his shows were great.
And he's just like one of those naturally, like, he's just always crabby and like.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, back in Joey's in love with the crab dick shack at the fucking bar. You know, he's just one of those. I think the problem is that tough crowd style has gone out of favor.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, there's...
In a big way.
There are guys who do that, but now, have sort of elevated it.
Dave Attell is timeless and immortal.
Right, but Bill Burr does that, and he's...
Yeah.
And Jim Jeffries kind of does that, but they're also... Doing it at maybe a higher, you know, they're doing the college version of what Nick DiPaolo did. You know, if Nick DiPaolo's doing a middle school act, those guys are collegiate. You know what I mean?
I think Nick DiPaolo, and believe me, he's done things with his career that you and I have never done.
Yeah.
And I'm not slamming Nick DiPaolo because he was cool to me when I met him. But
right.
Like,
we like Nick DiPaolo.
But he's not. Okay. Colin Quinn is a league better than Nick DiPaolo.
Sure.
Intellectually.
Well,
I think that Nick is.
Colin does a one man show now. Colin doesn't even really do stand up.
Right,
he's doing, you know, Broadway
stuff.
But I
mean, you know, if you really look and if you examine the material between Nick DiPaolo and Colin Quinn, Nick's like a road guy with a slightly elevated perspective.
Yeah.
And Colin Quinn's like an artist.
Yeah.
And you might not even like Colin Quinn, but the gap between what David Attell's doing and Nick DiPaolo's doing.
Yeah.
So when you move to this far right Trumpy kind of shit, the cover for. The degree of difficulty becomes higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You have to work harder.
Yeah.
It has to be smarter.
Yeah.
It's not that you can't be conservative or do whatever, but like, it's not going to read as well unless you're very skilled. And I don't know if Nick is just kind of going, "Hey, fuck you." It's kind of. It seems like it's a little bit of old hack.
It just is not. It's not an enlightened viewpoint.
No.
And that cover thing could have been avoided if he would have gave a shit, and he didn't.
I think
give
Bill
a
Burr
shit.
Kind of goes at the same people in a smart way.
That's what I mean. Bill Burr and
so I guess
mean,
what I'm saying, Nick, right. I'm just dumping on Nick DiPaolo. But right. No, I mean, Nick is a very funny guy.
All right.
But please.
I think we
you're right. Don't,
he could have, you could have avoided all this.
Don't
get some actors.
Well, don't pull clip art. Because you
don't know where that clip art's coming from,
and it's going to look stupid.
Right. By the way, we're going to recreate that Nick L. I've got a group of the open micers from last night. They're going to come over.
I'm going to sodomize.
We're going to go over to that bar on the west side.
I think for my next for my debut album, I think I'm going to sodomize a baby seal.
Let's move on. You know, I have a category on our rundown that's called Dead. And sometimes that dead is completely empty because I go, eh, nobody really died. Or, but let's talk about a couple people who died. Peter Mayhew.
Oh.
Who portrayed Chewbacca, Corey, dead. Did you ever meet Peter Mayhew?
Yes.
Okay.
I did meet Peter Mayhew. Yeah. I mean, not, you know.
But, I mean, you were in his presence.
I was at a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite stories. I posted it. I was walking in the back door to get my press credentials. And I'll be going to the Comic-Con next weekend, I think. Mm-hmm. But I walked in to get my press credentials, and there was, standing outside smoking, Robert Picardo, who played the Doctor on Voyager.
Uh-huh.
Peter Mayhew, who was 7'2".
Yeah.
Fred the Hammer Williamson, the famous blaxploitation action star. And Rob Van Dam, the wrestler. That was the crew. That was. There might have been somebody else too, but
I'm not. What was Rob Van Dam smoking?
Who knows?
He might not have been a cigarette.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
But that was the crew that was hanging out by the back door at the smoking porch.
All bases covered,
and they were all chatting and having a great time. And I was like, "Wow, you really? This is a snapshot of the entirety of nerddom right here."
Yeah.
You know. It was a funny group.
Yeah, but Peter Mayhew, for those of you that don't know, you know.
By all accounts, a lovely.
Yeah, no one had a bad thing to say about him.
Like I said, I said hi to him.
Right.
Because, like,
David Prowse has sort of been exiled from, like, Disney wants nothing to do with him. He's kind of, like, the angry guy from the Star Wars crew. Mayhew was definitely still a guy who was a company man. And
David Prowse played Vader in the suit.
Well, he was. I think he was upset about the money he got. He was upset that his voice. He was under the assumption in the first Star Wars movie that he was going to be the voice of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Even though you can find the clips of him because he did the lines on the set.
Right.
You can hear this Welshman screaming stuff, and it just sounds silly.
Yeah.
But Peter Mayhew, you know, I think. Really, and I think, you know, when I would see Peter Mayhew on TV or you see him walking around.
Yeah, he didn't do the voice of Chewbacca.
He did not do the screams and stuff like that. But when you see the way that Peter Mayhew, like, moved and the way he, and, you know, so much of Chewbacca was in the eyes, he really did, you know, when you think of Chewbacca, I mean, he really was that guy. I mean, it was not, because now, in the last, what, how many new Star Wars movies have there been? Four?
Yeah, okay.
I think he only.
God knows.
Rogue One, he wouldn't have been in.
I think
anyway.
He was in a Force Awakens for a bit.
Yeah, but yeah,
I think somebody else.
He
was in
did
there.
The sitting down parts in Force Awakens. So when they're on the Millennium Falcon and stuff, but for Solo and stuff, they've got this big Swede that does it now.
You know,
and it's different. It's not the same Chewie. You really, and I know that I've heard interviews with the new actor saying, "Well, I'm doing," you know, Peter Mayhew had kind of this pigeon-toed walk, which Chewie has, and he kind of tries to do that. But it's different, and you can kind of tell that it's not Peter Mayhew, and that's saying something. That's a real compliment to him and what he did.
Suit acting gets, underrated.
Yeah.
Guys who act in suits.
Right.
You know, Haru Nakajima was the original Godzilla and for years and years, and he really put something into those, you know, into that part. And then I just had to watch, I interviewed Ethan Peck, who plays Spock in Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
So he's the third guy to play Spock.
Is he like old Spock? I don't even know.
No,
what
he's like young.
Oh, it's very, very young.
Discovery's like set before, it's, you know, further back in the timeline. So it's kind of young.
Is it before the JJ movies then even?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 10 years before Kirk.
Oh.
So it's like young, edgy Spock.
Oh.
Yeah. But it also, of course.
Because Spock's really old.
Yeah, well, he's a Vulcan, so they live to be 200 years old. But anyway, but there's a guy in there, Doug Jones, who was in Shape of Water.
Oh, okay.
Right, he's like the top suit actor.
Yeah, okay.
And he's playing an alien in this show. And his walk, he does this thing where, like, when he's walking, his arms kind of, like, move free-floating behind him. And he has this really specific walk that he does that doesn't look like a human walk at all. And I'm like, wow, but it's not super distracting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're like, he's walking like an alien, and you're like, oh, that's really selling the effect.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not just walking straight up and down.
And, you know, you see also even like CGI guys.
Yeah.
Like Andy Serkis is great. And when you see like Planet, you know, we know he did Lord of the Rings, but Planet of the Apes, those new Planet of the Apes movies, he's doing that, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter Jackson used him to be King Kong. And, in fact, I'm going to talk about Andy Serkis because he's in a movie that I saw recently where he's not in CGI. And we'll talk about that. But Andy Serkis is an incredible guy, too, I think, because he's really taken that motion capture thing to another level. So those guys are good. So Peter Mayhew.
And then if you go to the Comic-Con, you'll see all the suit actors. Like Kane Hodder, who was one of the Jasons.
Yes, the Jasons. And, well, you know, the Michael Myers there. They're all in that new Halloween.
Yeah.
In one, because there was a bunch of guys over
the
years.
How many different guys have played?
Well, some guys are Michael Myers under the mask. Some guys are just cameos as other characters, but they put them all in that new that new Halloween movie. But also dead and from the movie world, John Singleton, Corey.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, that's John Singleton, young guy,
right?
Early
50s. Early 50s, right?
Apparently he had a stroke, so I think he had high blood pressure. So that's the thing, you got to check on
that, guys. Got Luke Perry, too.
Yeah, yeah, you got to check on that blood pressure, man. I went to the doctor yesterday, and I'm on, you know, I went through a thing where it was real high, and my medication, and they changed the medication and that, and went in and had a checkup, and it was perfect. So thank goodness I'm taking care of it. I don't want to die. He was only a few years older than I am.
Well, you're
Singleton. So
well, don't worry. You got the Roseanne show where you can die.
Oh, right on stage. I've died 1,000 deaths on stage, but I'm talking in real life. Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Considered the first Hood movie of the 90s, late 80s. I don't know when it was late 80s and
90s. 89, something like that. Yeah.
But it was, you know, New Jack City and that, and Menace to Society, and certainly a lot of the archetypes for that kind of stuff certainly should be credited to, of, you know, the South Central gang life. A lot of the other movies I really didn't see, and then he did one of the Fast and the Furious movies, but was kind of known for black cinema, right? Baby Boy and some of those. He did a movie with Tupac. I forget what
you're
it was.
You're saying
but
you
yeah.
didn't watch Poetic Justice?
Didn't see Poetic Justice. Yeah. I think I was probably working at the movie theater when some of those came out in the 80s or the early 90s. But yeah, I was, you know,
well,
I mean,
he
was talented.
You know our friend Todd's great story.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's not, come on. The dude's dead.
When he, I know, I'm just saying. When
I know.
When they, when it was Todd was working at the at this movie theater that's now gone.
Yeah.
The Americana.
He's the Americana in Southfield, Michigan.
Southfield, Michigan.
Predominantly and, black and crowd. He would get there.
Like, basically like 2 weeks before they knew that Boys in the Hood was coming out. And so like 2 weeks before they were like doing calisthenics and making making the staff do jumping jacks and stuff. And then when the movie debuted, they put Todd on the Naked Gun. They were like, "Todd, go work that end of the theater."
Yeah. The white guys, you go down black guys only.
Because they were
tearing tickets.
And somebody did shoot up the movie screen.
Well,
I think
at that place, for one of those. And there was a lot of those. You know,
New Jack City,
Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy was a like the movie theater shootings were a thing in like the '80s and the early
nineties. But they would just. It wasn't like the later movie theater shootings. It was like,
I'm just
going to put a cap up in this screen.
It was like brothers fighting
right,
and
just
stuff.
Dudes
yeah,
fucking
just
fighting and
gangland
shooting
stuff.
And...
Yeah, anyway, so they're dead. TV or movies?
But John Singleton was a fine director.
I'm thinking of where to go next year. Because the one TV show I know we both saw is wrestling. And I don't know, I think we try to save wrestling content. Let's do movies. Let's do some movies. We're talking about Andy Serkis.
You mean if somebody has an abandoned ship already?
Well,
you don't want to chase them off.
We're trying to keep this brief because you got that gig and we're going to go have dinner and all that stuff. I saw a long shot with Charlize Theron and
Seth
Rogen. And you know what? That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, it is a rom com with an upset in the. So Charlize Theron is the Secretary of State who is considering running. So the guy who's the president is it's a Trumpian, it's a take on Trump by Bob Odenkirk. But rather than being, you know, a rich guy from reality TV, it's like an actor. It's kind of Reagan meets Trump. And Bob Odenkirk's awesome because it's like, you know, I played the president in this movie.
Bob Odenkirk's always awesome.
So Bob Odenkirk, he doesn't have a lot of scenes in this, but he's the president, but this he decides because he's getting criticized, much like Trump, that Odenkirk's not going to run for office. And he says to Charlize, you're going to be the handpicked successor. And then Seth Rogen's character is a guy who is like a, you know, an online investigative journalist. So you're thinking like, you know, like a BuzzFeed writer or, a, you know, a Slate writer, one of those guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he hates the president. But somehow he ends up going to some presidential event or whatever. The Secretary of State is there. Turns out she was his babysitter when they were teenagers, and he always had a crush on her because she's. It's a long setup. It is kind of a long setup. Yeah. And they end up hanging out, and she wants him. She has read his pieces and goes, "Oh, you should write my campaign speeches." And so he ends up working for her, and they end up dating and the whole thing. So there is that romantic comedy element. But you know, look, Seth Rogen is doing the Seth Rogen character. He's high. He's drunk. He falls down. He gets an unbelievably hot girl to fall in love with him. Yeah. All of those things take place in this movie. It is sort of knocked up for a new, you know, 15 years later or whatever.
Great range on that guy.
But you know what? It is funny at times. Charlize Theron is actually pretty good. Doing her, you know, stuff. She looks good, and you know,
well, of course she looks.
Some of the supporting cast is actually pretty good. So I enjoyed it.
This is very different from the movie where she banged Patton Oswalt.
It is different from the movie where she banged Patton Oswalt. Well, the other thing is that, you know, she's not dressing down. Yeah. She's super glam in this.
Right.
You know, she's like wearing all these designer clothing.
There's a tendency to ugly her up for
sure. Yeah,
stuff.
No, that not necessary in this one. So she looks good. So it's funny. It's, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, political satire. Is it believable? Not really. But, you know, it's
what's believable anymore, though, because the Ukraine elected an actor.
Yeah.
Vladimir Zelensky.
Yeah.
Who literally played the president on a show.
He's like Jim Carrey or something, right? And he's kind of that equivalent.
Yeah. It was like
that would be
on a show in the Ukraine where he's like, how did this guy get elected president?
Yeah, and then he got
elected. Then they actually elected the fucking guy who played the character.
You know what it shows?
What?
There are morons there, too.
Oh, my God.
There's morons everywhere.
Well, I'm sure
there's morons here. There's morons
I'm
there.
I'm sure Putin rigged that one, too. But, I mean, I'm not kidding about that. I think he did.
But I'm recommending Long Shot. Apparently, it didn't do well at the theater. I think
Avengers is sucking up every nickel.
Do you have any Avengers thoughts? I mean, it's going to break the all-time box office record.
I like it less and less the more I think about it.
We did a review the next day, and now there's been a lot of criticism about stuff.
Well, this bastard Joe Russo, who was one of the directors,
yeah,
gave some interview, and he's like, you know, the Hulk is permanently injured now.
Yeah.
He's got this weak arm, and he's going to have to adjust.
Right.
And I'm like, it's the fucking Hulk. Like, they've shown multiple times where he's gotten stabbed and healed.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole shtick.
Right, yeah.
And now we have to believe. And then, not to dig into the Avengers trope.
Let's try not to spoil it. We did a whole review the last episode.
But there's
talked about Avengers. We did some non-spoiler stuff and then some spoilers.
There's a whole bit where the Hulk's got to do something and no one else could do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I'm the only one strong enough to do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't worry, it's all gamma radiation.
Yeah.
Then he proceeds to get hurt. Because the motherfucker's made out of gamma.
Well, we said that Captain Marvel and Hulk are probably too strong. They try to
gimmick them,
remove them from the story at times. You know, there are the timeline, the time travel gimmick is being pulled apart again. I don't want to get too deep on that.
Yeah.
There's criticism about.
Well, there's a whole world now.
Yeah, it's
YouTube conspiracy guys.
Yeah. So, but again, my feeling with Avengers is, if you like those movies and like them a lot, you'll really like Avengers. If you don't like those movies, you won't like this Avengers. And if you're me, who kind of likes some of them, doesn't like some of them, kind of in the middle, kind of shrugs your shoulders and doesn't care that much, that's exactly how you're going to feel about that. I don't feel like there's really, you know, I think whatever you think you're going to think about, this is what you're going to think about. So don't go out of your way to feel like, man, I need to see this. In that way, I feel like even something like Avatar, which holds box office records, was impressive at the time. And if you sat down to see Avatar in its day, you saw something. You know, a lot of people hadn't seen 3D movies in a million years in the cinema. I think Avatar was a much more impressive event type film, and even something like Titanic was, even if they're not remembered fondly. To me, this felt like another one of those. And so I don't feel like, or, you know, the first Star Wars, you think about these landmark movies, you know, Ghostbusters. This is not in the league at all with any of those, you know,
because at the end of the day, story is king.
Yeah.
The original Terminator was made for $15 million, $12 million, something.
And even the sequel was innovative,
which,
you know, the first one
was a real modest budget at the time, on the cheaper end.
Yeah.
I must have watched the James Cameron 1984 Terminator a dozen times in my life or more.
Sure, yeah.
I return to that movie and watch
it's easy
over,
to watch.
And it's always good.
Yeah.
And it holds up.
Right.
Because it's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
It's got great dramatic tension.
Yeah.
Pacing, content.
Mm-hmm.
These fucking spectacle movies.
Yeah.
I haven't had any desire to watch Avatar for 1 second of my life.
No.
Since I walked
but
out of the theater.
It was a spectacle, though.
Yeah,
you have to
cool.
give it credit. Yeah.
It was cool to look at in the theater.
Yeah.
For half of it. And then the
sure.
second half, I was like, are these blue homo cat people going to stop gaying about
yeah.
and flitting about? Woo, we're magical.
It's now a Disney a Disney property.
And now they're like.
And it's going to be at Disneyland, at Disney World.
And they're going to bend us over and put the speculum up our.
Three more coming.
And shove as much Avatar directly into our colons.
Yeah.
As they want. And I'm like, no one wants this.
No one wants it, but who knows? I mean, if Disney wants something to make money, it usually does make money. So, I mean, you know, I mean, look.
Well, people were like real lukewarm about Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And that made a huge amount of money.
Well, I think the
people
thing.
People just go, they're
the
like,
movie,
it says Disney, I'm going
to
go watch
the
it.
The movie to think about in all of this that was the failure, because it was not satisfying to the fans, was The Last Jedi. And that is really where you go, we gave too much latitude to this guy, and we really do need to rein these things in. And there does need to be a vision, and it can't be a bunch of people. And and as much
well,
as...
Solo,
as,
which...
Well...
What was the budget on Solo?
Solo didn't do great, but Solo was also... Again, they gave these, you know, Lord and Miller too much latitude, and they weren't happy with it. And
they fired him.
Well, and they fired him largely because it was over budget, because they were taking too long. Not so much because of the content of it. And I think Solo was a better movie than Last Jedi in the fact that Solo was what you expected. It delivered on what... the bar was very low for Solo. And I think it crossed that bar, even though for a lot of people it wasn't what they wanted out of Star Wars.
No.
And so they didn't like it. But
now, didn't Disney just announce a Star Wars movie a year for the rest of our
there's Star
Wars?
You can pull up the schedule. All the Star Wars movies are on there. All the Marvel movies, like for the next 8 years or 10 years or something. The Fox movies, because they now have all the Fox superhero properties. Those are on there, as are the Avatar sequels, the Star Wars movies, the Marvel movies, and whatever else is. You know, there's some non. Movies in those
this Fox Disney deal
franchises
is going to become looked at as one of the worst things that ever happened. Look, did you see what happened?
It might. I mean,
well, did you see what
Marvel
happened?
Has been? We keep saying, when is the shoe going to drop on Marvel, and the next one won't do as well as the last one, and they really kind of haven't done
now,
that. I think Ant-Man. I think the two Ant-Mans have been the lowest grossing ones. I looked it up before this last movie came out, but yeah. Anyway,
it's. Did you see that? So apparently Disney didn't buy all of Fox. They were prevented.
They didn't
the
buy.
Government oversight prevented them from owning the news station.
Yeah, Fox owns the news and
the
sports.
The sports.
Yeah. The,
but the local sports network.
Yeah, they sold those.
So now Sinclair, which is weird because then you're going to have FS1. You're going to have Fox Sports 1, and then you're going to have all these affiliates.
They could rebrand those. I don't know.
So now they're going to have to rebrand those Sinclair.
No, whatever. No. Fox Sports is still Fox. Fox Sports Detroit is now Sinclair.
Yeah.
That's how you look at
but
it.
But I'm just saying they're not. But I mean, it's like the Fox Sports brand.
Yo, that might be gone, and Sinclair could make it Sinclair Sports, and that's where you're going to watch the Tigers.
But they're still going to have Fox Sports, because that's a separate entity. Only.
Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2 will
it's
still
all,
be Fox.
It's all confounding.
Yeah.
But now Sinclair owns a lot of, not all of them, but they split.
Sinclair also owns Ring of Honor Wrestling, so maybe that ends up there. Who knows? But yeah, so yeah, Fox owns The Simpsons.
Look.
I mean, Disney owns The Simpsons.
It's too much.
Yeah. The Simpsons, Disney owns
Time
Avatar.
To break up Disney.
Goodbye, Big Disney.
I knew it is.
Well,
they dominate the landscape.
They do, but
to the extent that it's really pathetic, and the movie industry will die and choke and
and
vomit.
Their streaming service, which is going to have all those things, and I mean, you know, they sued Fox over Bones because they thought that Bones was not offered at a free market price to syndicators or cable channels. And the Fox got beat for $200 million or something like that, or whatever it was, a giant amount of money. Might have been more than that. I forget. You can look it up. Hundreds of millions. And then
how much would you pay for Emily Deschanel?
Well, they then on appeal, it was overturned.
Yeah.
Congratulations, corporations. You win again.
Well, look, the superheroes got to beat the lawyers.
Yeah,
you know, the whole mess with the Shazam and Captain Marvel and the lawsuit there and all that deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's a good thing for Disney to own all of entertainment.
Well, they do, and
unless they would like to make an offer,
and I supported Disney enough at this point.
Unless the Disney Corporation would like to make an offer for JoelRadio.net, you can buy this website.
I'm going to tell you about the website here for a second.
Yeah,
I'm getting crushed in SEO.
Oh wow. Well.
Site engine optimization, because if you type in Joel Radio, guess what comes up?
Joel Osteen.
Yes, because Joel Osteen podcast now. Yeah. I think if you type in joelradio.net, you're fine. I almost need to change the name of the show. And I also feel with the way podcasts are going, usually a guy's name is not enough unless you're a famous guy to make the name.
We made that mistake.
It was a big mistake when
in
we started.
The beginning
of
the show.
It was a big mistake. And partly out of
We had called this show Poop on a Shovel.
Yes.
It would be, people would go, oh my God, I love Poop on a Shovel.
Search for pooponashovel.com if you can. But yeah, I mean, partly out of vanity, we went with our own names. We want to take ownership of it, the whole thing. And then, of course, it became a deal when you quit. And then so the whole thing has been a little bit of a nightmare in that respect. And it would be easier to find a show if I had a unique name.
I looked up Poop on a Shovel, and it took me to the Urban Dictionary shit shovel, which is a person that you send to do all of your dirty work.
Yeah.
Or someone who takes responsibility for whatever mess you've gotten yourself into.
Yeah, well, that could be you. To me. But anyway, let's... here's the thing. But if you go to joelradio.net, I have done some improvements to the site. There's a new streaming player, which really isn't that different, but I'm kind of doing it differently. And also, if you want to subscribe to the show, if you go to joelradio.net and you go to the right side, I've got links to iTunes. I've got links to Google Podcasts. I've got links to Stitcher. I've got a link to the RSS feed directly if you need the link to that. And I've kind of unified some things there. You actually may need to resubscribe on iTunes because it might be, again, I've done some sort of rebranding to the show to make it easier to find. I think iTunes might have it under a separate listing now. Google might do
our
that
new
as well.
Show name.
But go to joelradio.net. All of the subscribe links are right up on there.
Our new show name will be called Nobody Likes Bunions.
Oh, my goodness.
With Joel Fragaboom Boom.
The most inside of inside controversy.
You've had to have been here since day one.
Since day one. Not day two. All right.
What can we call this show Dawn and Drew? Is that a possibility?
We got to... Quickly,
what
TV.
About the PK and J show? Can we name it that?
Prickly, I got some TV. Have you seen any of these?
Prickly with Joel Fragaboom Boom.
There's a show you don't like because it's on. It's a true crime show, but it's real good. It's on Hulu. It's called The Act. It's about a girl who was.
You know, I actually did see the Dateline or whatever.
Yeah. It's a cool story. Yeah, it's one of the crazier stories.
That's one of the only true crime shows I ended up watching.
If you watch The Act, and I would say don't watch, there's a documentary about this case as well.
Dramatization of a real story.
But you should watch the dramatization first. If you watch the documentary first, it's kind of going to ruin some of the twists in this. Because this, Patricia Arquette plays the mom on The Act, and this girl named Joey King plays the daughter, who is like some Nick actress who's doing kind of an adult turn here. And it's about this woman raising her daughter who has all these afflictions, and she's wheelchair bound. But one of the twists, and you know, I'm just saying this because I think it's pretty obvious, even on the first episode, the daughter's not actually sick.
Right.
And you see the daughter trying to rebel a little bit, but you also see the mom very conniving, getting donations from all these charities and, you know, appearing on television with this ill daughter, and they're raising all this money, and they got a Habitat for Humanity house after theirs was destroyed in Katrina. And as the story goes on, it gets darker and darker. And I think it's 8 episodes on Hulu. To me, I'm putting this right up there with like those Darren Criss true crime, you know, the American crime story shows, the OJ one and The Assassination of Johnny Versace, which I thought was incredible. This is almost as good as those. It really is great. They put them out 1 week at a time, but now they're all up. So if you want to watch this, and again, the documentary Mommy, Dead and Dearest is on HBO. If you want to watch the real story, it's great. It's really, really good.
Not being a blonde woman that goes to hot yoga.
Yeah.
I can't really get into true crime.
Yeah.
But this story is kind of, it's weird enough that I would be.
Yeah, it's real good. My girlfriend kind of said, let's watch it because the girls at the office were watching it. And then I got into it, and we watched a bunch of documentaries about it, so I got into it. And it's also a dumping ground of the hottest 90s actresses all playing moms, Corey.
Well, that's called the Hallmark Channel.
Well, no, this is even...
Isn't that where they all lazy
shot
there?
I'm going to give you the lineup here, Corey. Yeah. In fact, I got to look up one because I'm not as sharp.
That's my favorite thing, is that all those shows on like Hallmark and the Mystery Channel? What's Lifetime?
Lifetime or Hallmark. Yeah,
Hallmark, sure. I think, is all mysteries now.
Yeah.
And then they just take like some random thing that chicks like, and then it's like the chocolate chip cookie murders.
Yeah, well, here's
the garage sale mysteries.
Here's your 90s.
Holly Robinson Pete is on like the morning show.
No, but we're talking
mysteries.
Like they were cheesy sitcom girls. These were 90s A-level movie stars.
Oh, really?
Patricia Arquette is the mom.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. How about Chloe Sevigny? Ooh. As the neighbor lady mom. Ooh. Across the street.
Okay.
And to be that, the daughter, Anna Sophia Robb, was young Carrie Bradshaw on that.
Where's Robin Tunney? She in there?
And Juliette Lewis shows up, Corey.
Wow.
I mean, think of that, what that would have been in
the mighty
20 years ago.
I know.
You and those three girls in a hot tub.
Goddamn.
And now, even now, you'd take those three girls in a hot tub. But yeah, they're playing.
I'd take two of the three. Yeah.
They're all playing moms. They're all playing moms who've seen better days.
You just made it sound like
they all got a lot of
miles
on them.
You just sound like a macaque there. You're like, ooh, ah, ah, ah. You just made a weird.
But check out The Act. It's very, very good. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
You'll dig it. It's one of the best. I think it's one of the best drama. I think the Johnny Versace thing to me is still the best one I've seen of those. The OJ one was spectacular and fantastic, but God damn it.
Check out our new podcast, Bucket of Farts, coming soon.
Bucket of Farts.
The name of the show.
About 90s actresses in a hot tub?
Well, there's literally a podcast called Guys We Fucked.
Oh.
That's a hot podcast right now.
By the way, I have a list of...
Oh, speaking of 90s actresses.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to Busy Phillips, who just got her show canceled.
Yes. I watched one episode of that. Maybe the worst show on television.
It's like, it's, and it just.
And you know what? I like Busy Phillips in shows.
Well, I like Busy Phillips. She's adorable.
Yeah.
Cute, but like.
Show was awful.
Not a talk show host.
But she was also trying to be like, we're going to have martinis, and it was like real gossipy, and was really lame.
Maybe when they're like, why can't there be women in late night?
Yeah.
And then you're like, you watch that, and you're like, oh,
well,
I see.
They were appealing to women. They were trying to do kind of a Chelsea Handler thing.
Well,
it was like Wendy Williams for white girls.
You know, if I had one bullet.
Yeah.
And I had, Trump and Andy Cohen in a lineup, I don't know what I would do. But I mean, I hate him more than anything. He's the worst.
Yeah, Andy Cohen. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of trash women, I read
running out of time.
Ladies Who Punch.
Oh,
the inside story of the
View. Yeah, I know. I got other things on. Come on, quickly.
I just want a couple quick pieces in there.
Yes.
And it wasn't as shocking as, you know, you were led to believe. Yeah. Also, I think kind of sloppily written.
Well, The View is certainly a show that has had its controversies over the years.
Well, okay. Basically, they all hated Rosie. Rosie had very specific rules about her being in the closet.
Yeah.
And when she was doing her own show.
Yeah.
She was constantly going on about how she had a crush on Tom Cruise.
Yes.
But she never intimated she wanted to have sex with Tom Cruise.
No.
It'd be like, I want him to come over and mow my lawn with his shirt on.
No.
And it was like.
Well, Corey, I mean, how often is the term cutie patootie used in this book?
Exactly.
Is it not?
He's a cutie patootie. No, it is. And then they talked about when she was on The View that she got real friendly with Elizabeth and they'd have like.
Yeah.
They'd go over to each other's houses and hang out. And
she was trying to turn her.
Joy speculates that she had a thing for her and was trying to turn Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was kind of receptive to it.
But Elizabeth.
That's the big shocking reveal.
But that, if you're a lesbian, that would be the big score right there.
Right.
That is it. That is your mythical. Right. Yeah, to get the conservative blonde Jesus-y broad to eat your box would be a top level score.
One of the other funny things. There's some juicy stuff in there. There's a lot of, like, you know, who didn't like each other and whatever. But there's a great story where they had a, it was like either a baby or bridal shower segment. Mm-hmm. And Star Jones had her sister bring a van over, and they just loaded all of the merch.
Star Jones.
They had, like,
she was a complete idiot.
Yeah, she was one of the original hosts.
We hated. We used to do Star Jones stuff on the show when she was
but it was like she would just literally, like, when they do the product demos, she just make out with, she just take all of the all of the products out of the back door.
All just a complete whore.
Running them out the back door.
Yeah, complete whore for
complete
for,
shill.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend a whole book of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, go look at the articles that tell you the juicy things that are in
that book. That might be a good, for one of these streaming services, to make a dramatization of that
of
book.
Of The View? Oh, yeah.
Or that book, just adapting that book.
Well,
you know,
the
that
audio
could be something.
Of Elizabeth, they caught backstage audio.
Yeah,
Barbara chewed her out.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth was like, I'm fucking leaving. This is ridiculous. Yeah. I didn't fucking swear, but I'm swearing because she's a fucking
Because they're all mic'd.
Yeah.
And the guys in the booth
it's
have
really
all
funny.
That audio.
Barbara was, like, hurt, apparently, originally, that people liked Joy. That Joy tested better than her.
Ah.
And she's like, why is Joy getting all this attention? Well. I'm like, well, because she's a comedian, and you're not. And Joy Behar had lasted on that show the entire run of it.
Well, they brought her back when she left.
Right. She left, and they brought her back because she's funny. So all these schmucks that think that being a comedian is easy, it's not.
All right. Real quick, some other good stuff on TV. Flossie Verdon on FX is real good.
I can't
good.
Believe you said this.
It's a great show. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
I think... I married a gay man.
Yeah.
My wife...
Your wife likes Broadway and stuff.
My wife is a gay man.
Musical theater.
It's all fucking Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Project Runway. You know, fucking cooking shit. It's all, has the taste of a gay man in many regards.
But
I've watched Flossie Verdon and
I think it's only 5 episodes and they aired the last one just the other night. So it's a short watch, but it's real good.
They didn't, it's in this unchronological order.
Yeah. A lot of flashbacks.
Disjointed, it's here and there and they could have run it probably in order, but, you know.
Very well done.
Sam Rockwell can do anything.
Sam Rockwell, Michelle Williams, great actors. Yeah. Bob Fosse was a complete piece of shit, and you see that in there, but he was this brilliant choreographer and director. And I think the more you know musicals and, you know, because you see, like, somebody playing Liza Minnelli, you see somebody playing, you know, these other, you know.
I didn't like the girl
Patty,
that was playing Liza
Patty Chayefsky and stuff.
I love that. At one point, Fosse has to go run over and see his chippy.
Yeah.
So he leaves their daughter with Patty Chayefsky.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
Uncle Patty.
Yeah.
And Patty Chayefsky's like, what the fuck is this? He's like, why am I going to be a babysitter?
It's great.
The great scholaric screenwriter of, you know, network.
Yeah, you can look up Patty Chayefsky, but, you know.
Marty.
But again, the more you know these characters, I think the more you'll enjoy it, but even if you know it's great. And this is the thing, too, and again, I don't want to, I've said my piece on this thing in the past, but, you know, if you think a good Hollywood bio or a show business bio is Bohemian Rhapsody, God damn it, you owe yourself to watch this show and see how it's done for fucking real. Because it's not just we walk into a room and the bass player is playing the bass line to, you know, Another One Bites the Dust, and they create that song, and then they go to the next scene and they're back in the studio. And that's all that fucking movie is. And it's people wearing the outfits. There's a guy that plays...
I love the shit when it's like Paul McCartney opens his window and it's the clouds are not there. So he's... Good day, sunshine. Yeah. I mean, or is that a George song? Whatever.
No, Good Day, Sunshine. But that's they. I think the Beatles have the Beatles movies kind of did that. You know, even the old ones from the '70s and the '80s.
I just picked and, any of these, right, these bad rock bios.
And this fucking Rocket Man that comes out is the same people that did Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. It's going to be the same fucking piece of shit. And, you know, if you want to do it with some insight, you got to go deep on these people. And, you know, showbiz people aren't perfect people. And boy, they made Freddie Mercury out to be a saint, and he was not.
Are they going to be? Are they going to be like Rocket Man? Scene one, rolling. Elton John slides the zipper down on a 18-year-old boy and slowly dresses him. You know, it's just like, How many dicks are we going to see him sucking?
Now, you know, I mean, and even, you know, even the...
And not that that's all there is to right. Don John, but, I mean, if you're going to skate around, the, you know...
Yeah, but the dirt about Motley Crue was really, really poorly done, too. It had a lot of the same tropes. I mean, they showed him banging girls and getting girls naked and doing wild stuff, but...
Now, okay, I
the tone of that was really weird and not very good.
Then and now, I could give a toss about Motley Crue.
Yeah, I know, but...
I always thought they were trash and garbage.
No, but...
But if you're going to watch a show called The Dirt, you're going to want to see dirt.
Well...
The whole point of that is to watch, you know, right?
Like you could make a great...
Nikki Six doing
but
coke.
I know the Motley Crue story. Okay, I didn't read the book, but, you know, I know... I mean, I lived it. I was that age when...
I lived it, man. I was there.
But, no, but you know what I'm saying? Like... You could make a great movie.
I was at the Rainbow in the Viper Room.
You could make a great movie about Motley Crue.
Yeah, sure.
But that isn't. And you could make a movie about Queen, and that isn't. This is a great show about Bob Fosse and Gail Verdon. So watch it.
It's really, it's really well done. You're right. It's two great actors. So,
it's two great actors, and it's shot well. And you know, there's a guy that plays Bedverine. There's a guy. And, but even if you don't know who those people are, it only adds to your enjoyment of it. And if you don't know them, it's fine, and maybe you watch Cabaret when it's over or something. I don't know.
Which you should. It's a great
movie. All right. Also, I only watched one of Hannah on Amazon Prime, but that was a good movie, and they adapted it.
Made a series out of it?
They made a series out of it, and after one episode, I don't really know where it's going, but I'll probably watch more of that. I saw one episode of the new Twilight Zone on CBS All Access, which was about a comedian. Camille Nanjiani plays a comedian, and he's not having good shows. And this was sort of, I guess there was an old Twilight Zone called A Game of Pool, right, where he became a great pool player because Jack Klugman came down and made a deal. Well, it's kind of like that, but Tracy Morgan is the kind of ethereal star comedian who gives him a piece of advice, which changes. I don't want to ruin the twist of the Twilight Zone, because it is have a Twilight Zone twist, as you would imagine. And of course, this is produced by Jordan Peele, who serves as the Rod Serling guy doing the intros and outros. It's just okay. I didn't.
What? Wait.
I mean, I know.
Are you questioning?
I know.
The genius of Jordan Peele?
No, Jordan Peele is the greatest filmmaker of any kind. You know, Jordan Peele makes the greatest movie. If you've never watched movies, Jordan Peele's the greatest guy. People watched what was that fucking movie? What was the first one that everybody liked? His movie.
That would be, are you referring to Get Out?
Get Out. Yeah. People watched Get Out. People who never studied cinema and went, this is the greatest filmmaker in the history of cinema.
Yeah.
And then not knowing nothing about cinema, they went like, you can't do better than this on Get Out.
Yeah.
And then Us came out, which people liked, but it was a little less hyped.
There were think pieces
on Us. Yeah, about that's us. The other thing. Yes.
And then guys, and then they were like, you know, you really have to watch this YouTube explainer video to appreciate Us.
Right.
To which my argument was, no, if you have to fucking watch a think piece about a movie, it was a piece of shit.
Well,
if you didn't get all of what the movie was trying to convey, look. I'm not saying there isn't texture and subtext. And you, a great movie is a meal that you chew on, and some of it's left in your teeth afterwards, and you think about it. But if you didn't understand what the plot of the movie was while you were watching it, that's a failed movie.
Yeah, and thought us, that was Us.
I thought Us, the metaphors were flimsy and all that stuff.
But anyway, so this new Twilight Zone, the thing about they're all different lengths, apparently, because I haven't had a chance to watch the other ones, and they all have big stars. So I know Adam, and some of them are remakes, actual remakes of old Twilight Zones. Because Adam Scott is doing the the Terror at 30,000 Feet that William Shatner did.
And John Lithgow.
And then John Lithgow did it in the movie. So Adam Scott is doing that one. So I'll check out more
That's the best segment of the movie.
Oh, of that movie. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we got it. We got like, if we can do Dark Side of the Ring in 3 minutes, we can do it. If you like wrestling.
Well, if you like Dutch Mantel narrating.
Yeah.
And then things got ugly between Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Some of the Dark Side of the Ring, which is sort of a true crime. Yeah. I mean, the Randy Savage Elizabeth one of the ones I've watched was the worst of the ones I watched, even though it was like the most popular wrestlers that got covered in this series so far.
I mean, it wasn't like
It wasn't unwatchable. There just wasn't. As a wrestling fan, I didn't learn anything.
They were like, Randy was a little possessive and paranoid of her.
Right.
That was about
as much
as they had.
And they died prematurely and from different reasons, and you can find out why. I watched, they did one about the Bret Hart double cross in Survivor Series 97 with Shawn Michaels, Vince McMahon, and all that. And it's fine. I thought the best two were both covered world-class wrestling. It was just the Kevin Von Erich story, where all of the brothers died young and were all wrestlers and all died young. And the tragedy of that.
All wrestlers die young, pretty much, unless you're Bruno Sammartino.
And Gino Hernandez, who was another world-class star who died mysteriously from a cocaine overdose. And there were lots of, was he mixed up with the underworld? Was he up to this?
Did they do Dino Bravo?
Apparently, Dino Bravo is going to be season two, apparently, when they make more of these. You saw the one about Bruiser Brody, who was murdered in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
He said that was real good. So it's a good series. I think some of these maybe require a little more of a long form. I think the Von Erichs, there's been long form documentaries about world class. The thing about the Kevin Von Erich one is they have this extended interview with Kevin Von Erich and his family, which a lot of those shows didn't have. And the Bruiser Brody, there's been a full length documentary about him, which is real good. But I know you like that. And I'm recommending it.
I think even if you weren't into wrestling, the Bruiser Brody one is a pretty interesting
one. The Gino Hernandez one is literally a true crime story that you would see on, Forensic Files or something. It's really very much like a whodunit. And, the autopsy report has inconsistencies and his mother's upset about things. And, it's got a lot of those twists and turns. It's on Viceland. You can stream those, I think, all on YouTube as well. So Dark Side of the Ring is pretty good. So we liked it. Wrestling fans, we liked it. What can we tell you? All right. Corey Hall.
We're Marks.
We have run out of time because you have to get over to the Comedy Castle.
Yep.
I'll be working at the Comedy Castle. Come check out Corey this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Go to ComedyCastle.com. Amazing Jonathan's a legend. Corey's going
to
warm him up really good.
I have to go over. I got to get over and dig into this Royal Baby story first.
You need to make those jokes.
I have to make a pilgrimage to the Royal Baby.
You need to make jokes about, what's his name?
The little shit. Oh, Archie.
Archie.
Yeah.
Not Archibald, which would be royal. It's Archie. Yeah. Like he's sitting on a stool. In
Archie
Queens,
sounds like
sitting in a chair in Queens.
Archie sounds
watching
like
TV.
Guy who fixes heating and cooling.
Well, I was thinking I was making the bunker. Joke that I don't.
Sounds like an HVAC guy.
Yeah. So we're gonna get out of here. Thank you for listening to Joel Radio. I'm at the Fox May 19th with Roseanne Barr. Everybody, so you can go check that show out. Tickets on Ticketmaster.
Well, that's going to be a hell of a story afterwards.
Well, I'm going to give it to you. So stay tuned to Joel Radio, because when I'm done with that, I'm going to talk about it. And I'm not going to pull any punches.
Come back here.
I'm not. And I will tell you if I ate shit at the Roseanne Barr Show. I'll tell you if I did good.
Come back to our new show, Four Swinging Balls.
Maybe that should be the name of it. I don't know. I don't know what to
tell
you.
Farts in a jar.
Maybe I change the name of the show. I don't know what to do. I had a good name that I'll tell you when we're done, because I don't want to give it away. But I had a good name, but it's kind of a reference to another comedy thing, and I don't want people to think it's specifically about that thing, even though it would mean something to me because it's a part of my life.
WTG.
It's not quite that. But anyway, let's get out of here. Thank you, Corey. We'll catch you next time. Again, go to joelradio.net. Check those subscriptions. Update them up there. We love you. We'll catch you next time. Good night.